It's a show about fantasy football.
Welcome to a show about fantasy football, which, if you couldn't have guessed, it's a show about fantasy football, a podcast about fantasy football, because we have other shows about fantasy football. Yeah, we have the Dynasty Domain YouTube channel. We have the Domain Fantasy Football YouTube channel. I'm here with Nathan. Obviously, we do a lot of that stuff. But this is something different. This is something that really we started doing podcasting before we ever had a YouTube channel. And so we've tried a couple times to go back in different styles. Now, basically what's happened is we have enough talented people on our team, including but not limited to our boy John, who's over there on mic four.
Hey, hey.
And Ryan Bread, who is joining us from Minneapolis, Minnesota, one of the worst cities in the world, actually, is where he's
Central from. Time zone, best time zone.
It's not the best time zone.
Yeah, you wish.
It's not. Nope. Nobody wants to be in Central. Nobody's like wakes up and is like, I wish I was in Central time zone today.
I do.
Absolutely not.
Land of sky blue
because
waters,
you're in
baby.
Central time zone. Whatever. You are indoctrinated because it's how you grew up, but let's face it, that's the only reason.
It's a cult following.
But you know Ryan Bread as the guy who created the bakery we use in a lot of our analytical videos. He's very statistically minded, and so with that, he also has some really bad takes about guys like Rashad Bateman and some other people that we're going to hear on the podcast. So,
Two minutes in, man.
Listen, I know Ryan. I know Ryan can take it, but Ryan and John are actually in charge of the podcast, and they're going to be writing, creating the segments, kind of leading the way. And Nathan and I are here for
really
for entertainment purposes, I guess.
Absolutely.
To hear Nathan get fired up about something really stupid, which is pretty typical in our content. So we're happy you're joining us today. And I will explain real quick this is the stupidest name for a podcast ever. And I think that it's no more stupid than everybody else having this really like abstract fantasy like or football related name, like the first down or move the chains or six back offense or cover four or cover five. I looked through every football related term.
Cover 69.
That's what we should have done.
Too late. We already started it.
Shoot. Heck, got it. Oh, well. Well, anyways. I got so fed up with how many fantasy football podcasts there were that I was like, you know what? Freaking screw it. Let's call it a show about fantasy football. Mm. And I had to fight Nathan on it. And, you know, it was me and our creative director, Becca, that came up with this. But this is a show about fantasy football, and we wanted you to know what it's about, and we wanted you to know what it is.
Yes.
So we're not going to be stupid with like this cute, abstract, whatever the frick names.
Just enjoy this show about fantasy football because that's what you're here for.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So
enjoy.
But we're happy you're here joining us tonight, and we are going to start tonight, I think how we're going to start, I don't know, is this how we're going to start every podcast?
Absolutely.
Yeah, NFL news. All right, let's get into some NFL news today. This is hilarious. there was a video posted on TikTok. Was it Brandon Ayuk or Brandon Ayuk's significant other? I don't know.
It was Ayuk.
It was his account, right?
I thought.
So yeah. Brandon Ayuk
posted. It doesn't matter. It was posted.
It doesn't. Posted, he was talking to Jaden Daniels. They play together in college, obviously. Talking to Jaden Daniels, and basically he was like, they don't want me, bro. They told me they don't want me back. And was talking about the San Francisco 49ers. Ryan, I'm assuming you saw this video circulating social media.
I saw that there was a video. I did not actually listen to it. I was busy during the day today, but I think I got the gist of it. And I'm perplexed.
Why do you use that word?
Well, because I understand that it's all a contract-based thing. And San Francisco has a lot of money tied up in a lot of skill positions already. However, Brandon Ayuk is younger than Deebo Samuel, and he's an actual like skill set wise X receiver. I don't think that they just don't want him. He may feel like they don't want him because they're not giving him a contract right now, but like that's it's a business. This is the way that it works. They absolutely want to have Brandon Ayuk around, and it perplexes me as to why he's looking at it like this and taking that stance on it.
Yeah, the difference is a few million dollars a year. It's $26 million, which is under what Amon-Ra St. Brown is getting paid. It's around what Nico Collins got paid, and he wants to get paid on the same tier as Amon-Ra, and they're saying no, so he's saying, yeah, they don't want me. He's just being petty. To me, this is just off-season drama. Like, to me, I think this is all a joke, in my opinion. If I were a betting man, I'd say at the end of the day, we're starting week one in 2024 and the San Francisco 49ers have Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, and Brandon Ayuk all on the field together. Oh, yeah, and George Kittle, too.
Well, this year, yeah.
Yeah.
I think when I heard it, I honestly thought it would be the most San Francisco thing ever, like the most John Lynch thing ever, for them to be like, yeah, we actually don't want you back. Like, we don't plan on resigning.
See you later,
like,
dude.
That would actually be funny. Like, and it wouldn't overly surprise me. But you're probably right. It's probably off-season drama.
It would be a Niners thing to pretend like they're so obsessed with him and want him so bad and want him to stay, and then they trade him for like a fourth-round pick.
Yes, for almost nothing. Yeah, he can go join Trey Lance.
Right.
If that's the long game, though, you would have think they would have chosen a different wide receiver than Ricky Pearsall at the end of the first.
That's true. That's true.
I talk about something that's perplexing. I don't want to say I don't see it with Pearsall. I think I do.
From an NFL perspective, yes.
I'm just like, does he have the skill set to replace Brandon Ayuk?
No. I don't
like, because there's no other reason they would have drafted him unless it was to replace Deebo. But he's not a Deebo.
No.
So I don't know. I don't get it. But
but I mean, I guess the real question is, like, does it actually mean anything that this was posted and that's what happened? Like,
my verdict is no.
I don't think it means a thing. I mean, it's as Nathan said, it's off-season drama. They're gonna, like, T. Higgins was holding out of camp. That is absolutely 100% more tangible and actually a thing as compared to Brandon Ayuk saying, man,
yes,
these people don't want me. There's action and then there's words, and one of them was one and the other was definitely not that same one.
Yeah,
fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they just probably didn't give him enough for what he wanted. Like, that's all this is.
Yeah.
And he'll be gone next year. That's all this means.
It's navigating the new market at the wide receiver position, yeah. And everyone's going to be faced with it now. I mean, you've seen a bunch of the elite wide receivers go to teams that have a ton of cap space, which are either quarterbacks with rookie deals or subpar teams overall that have mediocre quarterbacks.
Well, the market also resets itself every 3 years. Because of the cap. And, yep. I mean, you had Tyreek Hill reset the wide receiver market, yeah. And now you've got Tyreek Hill's agent on NFL Network saying that the Dolphins know that Tyreek Hill wants more money. Yep.
Which is why everyone, when they saw Pittman's contract to begin with, everyone was like, oh, that was such an overpay, and now everyone's just shut up.
Did people actually say that Pittman's contract was an overpay?
I thought it was an underpay.
It was definitely an underpay.
Well, I was like,
yes, now.
It's super team-friendly.
Oh, yes, I know, but there were people that disagreed with that when it initially came out.
Of course.
Because no one expected, which I don't know why they didn't, that the market was going to go up with a $30 million cap increase.
Of course, you're a Ravens fan, so you don't even know what it's like to have a wide receiver.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, we got some diversity in team support here. We got Avery and I, Colts fans, truthers through and through. We bleed white and blue. The correct white and blue. That's the Colts white and blue.
Is there a correct white? That sounds very...
Well, some people would say Penn State.
That's,
referring to Penn State.
Okay.
Then John is a huge Baltimore Ravens fan.
Oh, big time.
And he is not bitter towards Colts fans at all because he wasn't alive when that happens. And then Ryan, another purple team.
I was going to say, you got two guys
with
that
the Vikes.
Like purple. Like that's...
We're all in the same color scheme. Suspicious. Or the same side.
Yeah, but blue is a lot more masculine than purple is.
I mean, it might be a little bit sus, but like, purple's, we've got a winning culture. What do you guys have, you know?
And Andrew Luck and a Peyton Manning.
Not anymore, you don't.
I mean, since 2000 we do.
I'm not joining this conversation. I'm not joining this
conversation. You're a Vikings fan. You wouldn't know anyways.
Either way, all Jefferson...
You definitely at least know what it's like to reset the wide receiver market, right? I mean, you get it. So,
I love how people made such a big deal about how like the Colts and a couple other teams reached out to the Vikings about Justin Jefferson. Of course they did.
They were in the
market for a wide receiver. Why would reach out when you suspect that the Vikings might not pay Justin Jefferson what he wants, which was absolutely a realistic scenario. To me, I thought it was dumb. I was like, what are we going to make out of this? That... What if he was a Colt? No, he was never going to be a Colt. He was never going to be on any other team.
I think Ryan, if he would have been traded to the Colts, I don't know if Ryan would have been around anymore.
I did imagine that scenario in my head.
100%.
You definitely would have left, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think I may have just quit watching football in general. I was talking to like my buddies from home about this before the contract happened, and I was like, if they somehow managed to screw this up and let Jefferson walk in free agency, I'm already tortured enough as it is just being a fan of the fan base. If they let the only hope go, I might just give up. I might be a Bills fan or something, because at least they get the same kind of losses that I'm getting now.
You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that.
No.
It's as cold in Buffalo as it is in Minneapolis, and you get more
Super Bowl losses?
More losses and more horrible snow. That's like 7 feet.
I think it's
consistently. You're too far away to join the tailgates.
Yeah.
True.
That's true. Well, I've got my Gophers tailgates to rely on, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Minnesota football is great,
and,
too.
And you do have the cool Vikings chant. Like, I'll give that to you. The thing that they do at the beginning of games where they do their, like, little Viking thing.
Yeah. Oh,
all the clapping.
The Gjallarhorn?
Yeah, it's very cool.
It is,
all right,
yeah.
Well, we are going to hop into topic number one. I'm just going to strong cut that off and talk about some improving situations, and maybe we can agree or disagree on this, and then some other situations team-wise that are risky. So kind of want to start out with the New England Patriots, with a team that nobody really cares about. but kind of wanted to talk about them and see them as an improving situation, possibly with the two rookie wide receivers that are coming in. They're a team right now that has zero hype. No one is excited for them.
Zero.
People are maybe a little bit excited for Drake May, and then that all got squashed by, you know, the classic training camp.
I would even say it's more the other way. Like, not only are people not excited about it, people
They're
are
low.
Viewing it as a negative.
Yeah. Yeah. And he, like, it's like, oh, Drake May's kind of got a similar haircut to Zach Wilson. So, you know, he's obviously a bust. But kind of wanted to talk about them and their Alex Van Pelt, the coordinator there, is a quarterback coach long time.
Yeah, not Scott Van Pelt. No.
And he's, I think he could help Drake May. I am definitely leaned against Drake May compared to you guys. I am not a Drake May believer. I do believe that this year he could definitely turn it around and develop into the player he needs to be, but I think he needs a year or at least 15 games before he's ready.
So not a fan of Drake May in the sense that you don't think he's going to be a good starting quarterback in the NFL, or like
I'm
not a fan of him at this current like point in his development?
He doesn't like him as a person.
It's personal. It's completely
his personality,
personal.
Man. I tell you what. No, it's definitely he's not NFL ready. Like, the mechanics don't seem there. The Patriots even called that out right away, which was confirmation bias for me, to be honest. But that was something I saw out of him coming out of college. It's like he's just not NFL ready, which is nice. They've got a guy there, but I definitely think he comes in this year, he's gonna suck. And I think especially like. Talking about dynasty circles, like, man, like, this year to jump, if you're hard-read building, man, like, this is the time to jump in.
Well, yeah, yeah. The best thing about May and the best thing about the Patriots situation right now is that they're not in a hurry to contend anytime soon as an organization. Mm-mm. So if they do want to sit May for upwards of an entire year, I don't really have an issue with that, because the hype will only increase as you see the skill players in that offense and defensively, honestly, too, get better and better around someone who is very limited in Jacoby Brissett. And Brissett, honestly, I mean, from experience, we've seen Brissett play plenty of football, and he's very competent as a quarterback, and I could see him being the starter day one, at least for a bit of the season, because he also is a really, really nice guy to have in the locker room and in those meetings in the QB room, because he's really, really intelligent, and there's a reason he's such a well-respected journeyman quarterback, and why so many people want him in that room is because he really does help those young guys. Yeah. So I think that could be kind of a blessing in disguise for May, even if he sits. I'm not really going to be one way or the other with May. I'm going to be high on him regardless. If he starts day one, starts year two, I don't really care. I will say, though, Van Pelt, I'm not a Van Pelt guy. I'm not sold on him as an OC. I'm surprised that they brought in a guy who has Aaron Rodgers ties, because who has Aaron Rodgers ties that has had success in the NFL as an OC or a head coach?
Mike McCarthy?
Oh.
Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah, if you want to choke in the playoffs.
Right. There you go. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know about you, but I'm not a Van Pelt guy.
I mean, Sean Payton made it really clear that Nathaniel Hackett did not have success after Aaron Rodgers. So, no, I don't. I'm not a super, like, we get into these discussions about offenses and situations, and there will be an offensive coordinator, and Nathan will always be like, I do not like them.
That's
and
not true.
You
there
do.
Are,
you
there
absolutely
are OCs
that
I like.
Which OCs do you like? Let's hear those first.
Immediately.
Give me,
I have to think about it. That aren't currently head coaches now that are OCs. I am a fan of Arthur Smith as an offensive coordinator in Pittsburgh. Not necessarily for all of the fantasy assets in that offense, but for their success as an offense in the NFL, I think there's going to be a big step up this year. I think he's a good I think he's a good OC, and he fits the Steelers culture.
And other criteria here, they can't be Shanahan coaching tree offensive coordinators.
Is Arthur Smith a Shanahan coaching tree?
No,
guy?
I'm just saying.
I thought he was Vrabel.
He's not. I'm saying that's one. So name another non-Shanahan tree offensive coordinator that you like.
Okay, the guy in Atlanta who's from McVay.
Shanahan coaching tree.
No.
Yes,
I mean, if that's accredited to McVay.
Yeah, you Who can't. They're different coaching trees unless you want to go under Kyle Shanahan's dad when he was the head coach of those R words teams.
Yeah, Mike Shanahan.
I mean, I think
I was going to say, because if you go that far, you could say that everyone's related. Everyone's under the Vince Lombardi coaching tree.
Okay, but he came from the Rams under Sean McVay, who came from Shanahan. So indirectly,
they were on the same offensive staff, but they didn't come from each other. They came. McVay and Shanahan were both together in Washington when Jay Gruden was the head coach.
McVay is a Mike Shanahan guy. Like
Mike Shanahan, yes.
That's what the Shanahan coaching tree is.
I was talking about Kyle Shanahan, because Kyle Shanahan has his own coaching tree.
So I'm not counting that one. You still give me another one. Give me somebody who did not coach with Sean McVay, Mike McDaniel, Kyle Shanahan, none of those guys.
Okay, well, that's two that I liked that I said, and Arthur there's Smith two OCs that I don't like.
Oh, no, I know you
Manziel,
don't like OCs. That's
my
point.
And I don't like Kellen Moore.
I know you don't.
Brian Johnson.
You like Brian Johnson?
Yeah, or is it Ben Johnson?
Ben Johnson.
Ben Johnson.
There you go.
Oh, he doesn't even know.
Wow.
Gosh, dude. Freaking right. Names today.
Okay, really, my point was, though.
I've already given you three examples. What do you think now, huh?
I think that when we get into these type of discussions about like team situation offense, Nathan will usually come in and be like, oh, I don't like this offensive coordinator.
That's not always true.
I still think that's true.
No, it's not.
So I'm not a big guy to look at the offensive
coordinator. Do you like Hackett as an OC?
I love him.
Cool.
Love him.
That's fine.
I think he's great. Look at the Jets offense last year. Undeniably elite, right? But I'm not a big like the offensive coordinator is going to make or break this situation guy. Like, I think it can.
I didn't say he was going to make or break this situation. I just said I didn't like him as an OC in that offense. I just wish they had taken someone else.
I'm not even addressing you.
I'm high on Drake May regardless. Get over it.
Okay, you can be. I'm saying I don't really care about. I think whether he's good, whether he isn't as an offensive coordinator, I think if Drake May really is the talent that he was drafted
talent transcends.
To be, he'll transcend. Yep. And so.
I like Houston's OC.
Bobby Slowick.
Sucks that they're in the AFC South.
Yeah, that's true. Ryan, what do you think?
About Alex Van Pelt?
Or any of this Patriots situation, I guess.
The Patriots situation is interesting to me because, like, obviously you have the rookie quarterback, but outside of him, there's still a bunch of question marks. They don't really have a tight end. They have Hunter Henry, sure, but he's as mid as mid gets. The running back room is Ramondre Stevenson, who I know last year, fantasy darling. So many people had him as
not
like a
top
us. 10. Not for us at all, but so many people had him as a top 10 running back. Clearly didn't work out like that. I know he was injured a little bit, but they don't have an offensive line. They don't have a good running back room because their only real addition was Antonio Gibson, noted stud. And then their wide receiver room is a mess as well. I mean, you did draft Jalen Polk this year out of Washington and Javon Baker out of UCF, but your best returning wide receiver is Kendrick Bourne, who tore his ACL last year, and he's 30. And then you have
a big contract too.
Yeah, and granted, you do have a bright spot, an unexpected bright spot from last year in Demario Douglas, who is the sixth round rookie out of Liberty, who I think has kind of fallen by the wayside pretty heavily this offseason. And he's kind of the guy that I look at the most in that offense, skill positionally, you know, the most value, because he was very, very good last year. Again, missed some games, but in an offense that was frankly anemic, he was the lone bright spot. And he has just been completely glossed over because of the addition of the second and fourth rounders this year, which I understand.
Yeah, he had some good stretches there. I mean, what was it, week 7 where he started showing out? He had a stretch of 6, 7, 7, and 9 targets. After the bye week, he had another 9-target week. So that's some respectable stuff right there. And decent yardage in a lot of those games. No touchdowns in that range either, so you're not going to see like hyper production there. But then at the end of the season too, after he came back from being banged up a little bit, he had 5-8-5 and 5 targets, and again in that type of offense, you're like, I'll take what I can get. That was, it was pretty solid. So I'm a big fan.
The interesting thing with him as well is that he, I mean, he's 5'8", sub 200 pounds. Like, he does not have a lot of overlap with either of the two guys that drafted this year, or Kendrick Bourne, or Juju Smith-Schuster in terms of their skill sets. Now, granted, Juju will play out of the slot if his knee doesn't explode, but you're going to get DeMario Douglas on the field. And he's, I think, pretty easily being drafted as the third, if not fourth, probably third wide receiver out of this offense. And I think, yeah. I mean, he's probably going to lead them in targets, because we've seen it countless times. The wide receiver aspect, the best friend of a quarterback is your slot receiver, who's going to run those short to intermediate routes, the check down, so to speak. Yeah. I think DeMario Douglas is going to have a better year than people are giving him credit for.
I agree.
I don't think it's a super hot take. I mean, before Jalen Polk was drafted and Javon Baker to New England, he was the only guy there.
Well, so he was getting a lot of dynasty hype.
And he was getting
that.
Some decent dynasty hype. He was one of the throw-ins that we had in some of our team blueprints and stuff, and now he's just been, you're right, he's kind of just thrown to the side and everyone's forgotten about him. So he's probably one of our top sleepers, I think, in dynasty.
I think the only guy from the Patriots offense that I'm actively like, okay, I can get this guy on my team and feel comfortable starting him, is Ramondre Stevenson this year. I don't feel. Yeah. I mean, with the receivers, like, I like Pop Double. I like.
Well, they're all so cheap that they're really, you're not losing much if you're investing in.
They're definitely
Polk
dart
is cheek, Baker's cheek, or
cheek.
They're not cheeks yet. They're cheap.
Nathan's already out on them because of the offensive coordinator, apparently.
No, I said cheap. I meant cheap.
Well, I will say this. I like Pop Douglas a lot. I think you're right about him, Ryan. I also think that people have just kind of forgotten about him. But, I mean, him, Polk, Baker are all guys you're getting past the 12th, 13th round, probably much later. Yeah. Those are the guys you're taking essentially dart throws on, or in most shallower fantasy leagues, like, are going to be on the waivers.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So with that, like, I think that is why the only guy, because I don't really want to buy into Drake May for a fantasy quarterback this year. He's not going to get drafted in most 12-team fantasy leagues. And so with that being said, like, Ramondre is the one guy, and it's a matter of, do we think Gibby hurts Ramondre's potential production in that offense? I think Ramondre could also be Drake May's
receiving
best friend. I think a slot receiver is a quarterback's best friend, especially a young quarterback. But I think a running back, a check down running back, can also fit that mold. And so with Ramondre, like, it just depends on how much of that is going to be taken by Antonio Gibson. But
I think building a defense goes a long way for a young quarterback in their development as well. Yeah. And is very, very underplayed when you're talking about, I mean, not just dynasty hype, but NFL hype for any young and experienced player in general. Mm-hmm. And with the Patriots, they have one of the better, more underrated defenses that we've seen, with Judon coming back, Gonzalez coming back, and they have a lot of investment on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, you just saw that with Stroud last year.
Yeah.
Like, they went out of their way to trade up and get Will Anderson on top of CJ Stroud just because they wanted to establish a culture defensively, which is such a D'Amico Ryans thing to do, and it was awesome. And Stroud was awesome, but that defense, man, they really, really helped out for sure with the success of that team.
Yeah. All right, well, we are going to move on to some riskier future situations here and kind of talk about, I'm going to lump these two together, the Cowboys and Dolphins. Talking about quarterback contracts here specifically, talk about Dak and Tua. We've also got the contracts, of course, of Jordan Love and Brock Purdy being in the near distant future. But out of those four, definitely Dak and Tua seem more up in the air than I would say the other two are.
Yeah.
And so kind of wanted to hear your guys' thoughts about those two situations and seeing, you know, is this the path for them? Is another Dallas playoff failure going to lead to Dak out the door?
Good question. I mean, when you're talking about, especially from like dynasty and fantasy perspectives, these guys are almost always lumped together kind of in the same range, being drafted in the same range, right? Their dynasty value is almost exactly the same. Their fantasy like situations are being drafted somewhere between quarterback 7 and 15 almost every single year, right? And it's because both of them have shown that in spurts, they can be very productive fantasy players. They've also shown that they can be inconsistent. Now, I would argue that Dak has been far more consistent than Tua has shown to be. Mm-hmm. I think that the reason for the Cowboys' struggles goes way beyond Dak Prescott. I think Cowboys fans are too hard on Dak Prescott. I think that Dak is a good NFL quarterback. I think Dak is a quarterback with a skill level good enough to
make
a playoff run.
Yep.
Like, I think that's absolutely true. And with the defense and with CeeDee Lamb, like, there really is no excuse that that shouldn't be happening in Dallas. But it's not happening. And we all know why, because of the 90-year-old geriatric guy that's making trades in the Dallas Cowboys front office. But with that being said, I think the Cowboys would be stupid to not re-sign Dak. I think they'd be... I mean, look at the hit rates. What is Dallas going to do?
Because they got to see what they have in Trey Lance. Come on.
I didn't even think about that.
Where's the one truther left? Where is he?
Right.
We need to find him.
They're all going to come out of the
get
rocks.
Him on the pod.
Yeah, seriously. I definitely think that, you know, with Dak, like, if he doesn't get re-signed by the Cowboys, he's going to go start somewhere else. Because any team would be stupid. Any team, like, that doesn't have a quarterback would be stupid not to get Dak. It's not like Dak, you're talking about him like Justin Fields, or you're talking about him like Trey Lance, where, like, he started at one point, but now he's just a backup level QB, like a Zach Wilson even. Like, Dak's a good NFL QB. Dak, for a minute there, was putting up, like, top five numbers last year. Like, he was considered in the MVP race. And the Cowboys' mismanagement is definitely not a reason to take that out on Dak. I think the Cowboys are going to have to pay Dak, but then you have the Cowboys in a world of cap hurt, which from a fantasy perspective, I'm not sure it super matters.
I've never seen so much cap.
It's bad.
Tied into three players.
It's bad.
Team.
But, like, again, with Dak and with the Cowboys, like, who are the players from the Cowboys this year we're actually, like, really high on for fantasy? CD.
Yep.
And Dak.
Yeah.
Jake Ferguson's a wash.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Like, right. you're not looking at Jake Ferguson and being like,
I can't believe you just said
six.
That. Shut up. Get out of here.
Oh,
everyone hates everyone's gonna hate you for that.
So
I get so much crap for talking against Jake Ferguson.
Well, it's because that's because you're you, and I don't get crap for that. So
that's
people
right.
like it when
right.
I say
they
it.
Just crap on you for talking five straight sentences.
I think they're actually complimenting me.
Oh, I see.
So
yes,
I will say this: like, from a fantasy perspective, it doesn't super matter. I don't think I think that CD and Dak are gonna be the two guys there. The Dolphins are interesting. You can talk about Tua a little bit, but Tua is a very different case. He's not proven near the production, the level of play that Dak has in his career.
Yeah, I know Ryan's going to love this because he's a huge comp guy. Ryan, you can kind of come along with me with this too if you want. Just my thought process with Tua
and
his contract situation, I view it very, very similar to Trevor Lawrence. With his interaction with the team, I think they're kind of tied to each other, where you're going to get the best out of Tua in Miami, which how amazing is that? I don't really know. And you're not going to be any better as a franchise Miami if you just let Tua walk, because who else is going to be there? You're too good of an all-around team, too well-coached to ever be in a position to get a better QB option than Tua. Like, you might just be stuck with mediocrity.
The Dolphins have also perpetually sucked for a long time.
Yeah.
So for them to be even decent is a big step in the right direction.
Yes.
So it's like, don't let good be the enemy of perfect, right? Like, you don't, just because it's not like, okay, you're making a Super Bowl run now, doesn't mean you completely abandon it altogether. With Tua, I mean, by the way, have you seen, like, all the videos of Tua, like, at off-season events and stuff? And he looks completely different. Like,
yes,
he's lost a ton of weight, and he looks like he's, like, a cartoon character from Moana or something like that. Like, with his hair and stuff.
The fro is pretty boss.
Yeah. I don't know what, if he's, like, lost a bunch of weight. I don't know what the deal is. He looks like he's, I don't know. But anyways, with Tua, like, I think he's a good, not great NFL quarterback. I think he's a good-ish to great, like, I mean, great being less than elite, being less than, like, Patrick Mahomes, a fantasy asset. Like, I think that he's definitely somebody that if you're starting him as your QB2 in a Superflex league,
you're
like,
comfortable.
You're comfortable with that, yeah. Right? Yeah. I also think he's somebody last year where he's a good value when you're taking him in, like, best ball leagues as your QB2, maybe even late QB1 for your non-QB teams. Like, you felt good about that.
Oh, yeah.
So with Tua, like, I think it's similar to the Trevor Lawrence situation in the sense that nobody expected Trevor Lawrence to get the deal he did just because of how everybody perceived his performance.
I don't know why they didn't expect it. That's just...
Well...
And to me, that's just where I'm at with Tua.
So we can, like, just tell people to expect it with Tua.
Yeah.
So
expect to be disappointed and annoyed with the amount of money that he's going to get.
Yeah.
Ryan, where are you at with all this?
You know, I'd like to touch on Dak for a second more and just kind of piggyback on what you guys were saying. I don't think it's a Dak problem. I'm sure his stats are what they are, but he's a very good quarterback. Any way you slice it, he's a very good quarterback. his win-loss ratio, which I'm sure a lot of people like to argue about whether wins are a QB stat or not. But irrespective of your stance on that, he wins games. He's done it with a great offensive line. He's done it with a bad offensive line. Granted, he's had pretty good skill position players alongside him for all of that. But you can have a great offense around you and still not be a good quarterback. I don't necessarily think that the issue with the Cowboys is a Dak issue. I don't know how much of that blame falls on Mike McCarthy or falls on having Kellen Moore as the offensive coordinator for a few years or Jerry Jones, but he's a really good quarterback. And you guys said it perfectly. The grass is not greener. Like the odds that you find a quarterback who's going to produce at a level at or better than that of Dak Prescott is astronomically low, especially with the rest of the team looking like they're in this win now mode. How are you going to improve on that with a rookie quarterback? Yeah, I mean, you'd need to legitimately get Justin Herbert or a CJ Stroud. And the odds of that, I mean, what's the hit rate on first-rate quarterbacks? 50%, if that?
Less.
Yeah. Like I think it's ridiculous for people to think the Cowboys are going to move on from Dak Prescott. I think that he's not perfect, but he's good enough. And that's kind of all you can do. Similar to the Dolphins, and as you said with the Jags and Trevor Lawrence, they're not great quarterbacks. They're not, you know, going to single-handedly win you a game to the level of like a Mahomes or a Josh Allen. But because it's so hard to find a good quarterback, and these teams are in like Dallas, they're built to win now. The Dolphins, they're built to win now. The Jaguars, a little bit less, but like you can tell that they're still in contention for the playoffs each year. Those teams are not teams who should just throw up the white flag, bail, and, you know, say we're gonna start the rebuild now. And I think because that fact is that fact, the Dolphins are gonna re-sign Tua. I mean, he's done a great job in getting the ball to Tyreek Hill. He's done a great job in doing that offense how it should be done. In the last 2 years, and I know 2 years ago he was injured a little bit, but we saw it in the games that he was healthy before the concussions started to pile up.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I'll say this, for me, like with Tua and fantasy draft strategy, I am trading him week 9. Like, week 9, week 10, Tua is going to be quarterback 5, 4, 3.
Yep.
He's gone off my team. Yep. I'm getting a quarterback around the same skill set and upgrading somewhere else, man. I'm doing that every single season until people catch on. So
once
now
it's cold.
Well, we can end on that little segment right there. Next up, we got a little game show going on here.
All right.
So we're going to see if one of these three. Ryan, I don't know if you saw the answers. You might have seen some of the answers, so we might have you sit out for the first question.
I will sit out because I do know the answers.
Okay.
Boo.
All right, I'm excited to see who wins between Nathan and I.
Okay, so this is week 1, so we'll kind of get a little scoreboard going.
Okay.
Hey, viewers, commenters, let's see who's going to win. Make your prediction now in your head. Let's see it. We're going to start out with a wide receiver. Who was wide receiver 16, weeks 10 to 17, averaged 6.5 targets per game, is 1 year older than the player we're going to compare him to, 61.5 yards per game, and is going to have the same target competition this year. The other player in this is wide receiver 38 over the last 8 games, 7.87 targets per game, 35.5 yards per game, 1 year younger, and has more target competition this year. Any ideas on either of these players?
Oh, gosh, this is harder than I thought.
Number one screams Pickens to me.
That's not who I am. Originally, when I saw that, I thought Jaden Reed.
Because we've talked about him and Puka.
I know.
I'll give you a hint.
But they were like equally productive.
This guy's he's a little bit crusty.
Okay, so it's a crusty guy.
It's a little bit crusty.
So
it's crusty.
So the second wide receiver is Stephon Diggs then.
Maybe, maybe not.
So you're not going to tell him.
Okay. Well, we got to let Nathan guess too.
Okay, I'm going to say that the second wide receiver is Stephon Diggs.
I think that's a good guess.
The first wide receiver is 1 year older than Stephon. It's not Calvin Ridley. Maybe it's D-Hop. wide receiver 16 weeks 10 through 17. Who finished? I don't think Ridley was that good through that stretch.
No, Ridley's younger than Diggs.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, gosh.
It's not Mike Evans, right? Same target competition. Mm-mm. So
Mike Evans is a bit too old to be 1 year older than Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Yeah. Okay.
Nathan, any guesses out of you? You can't guess the Diggs one. You got to change it up.
I can't guess the Diggs one. I got to change it. Well, I got to stick with my Pickens idea then. Did you already tell me it wasn't Pickens?
Well, that wouldn't make any sense.
A little bit old and crusty.
Oh, okay.
They're both a little bit older.
Okay.
And it's not Thielen. Thielen was good at the beginning of the season. Thielen.
Right. No. Is it Amari Cooper? I'm going to go with Amari Cooper week 10 to 17. He may have been higher than that, though, production-wise.
That's a good guess, though. Honestly,
I'm going to go with Amari, though. And then that kind of gives me some room. A 28-year-old wide receiver. That makes me think. Jeez, dude. What are you laughing at?
Nothing. I'm not laughing.
Yeah, you are.
All right, you guys got 10 seconds each to get in your last guess for the other person.
I'll go Stephon Diggs for the bottom, and for the top, I'll go DeAndre Hopkins.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going Amari Cooper, who's 29, and then a 28-year-old. I think Ridley's still 28.
Okay. All right, so the top one, Brandon Cooks.
What?
Yep.
No.
Wide receiver 16, weeks 10 to 17. The bottom one was Diggs. So
okay, so I got one.
We got a point there for Avery.
I'm 0-for-2.
Let's go.
All right, next up, we got...
No way!
What?
I just said no way. That's crazy.
About Cooks?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, well, he went crazy, man.
I've seen a lot of discourse even today on Twitter that like he's being underdrafted for fantasy. Because it's like, you know, CD, and then like it's Cooks and Tolbert way down.
Yeah.
Okay, well, look at his targets here. Week 10, 10 targets, and he goes 4, 5, 4, 5, 6, 2, 8, 8.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that 32-point game really boosted him up week 10.
It did. Wow. All right, next up, we've got, and by the way, some of these stats are very cherry-picked, just to make it a little bit harder.
Cool.
This was quarterback 7 in sack percentage, quarterback 5 in interception percentage, means he threw less interceptions, number 6 in completion percentage, 12th in passing first downs, and 13th in total pass yards. The second guy on this list is 10 in sack percentage, so he didn't take a lot of sacks, 25th in interception percentage, 14th in completions, 14th in passing first downs, and 11th in total pass yards. And you guys are going to see a theme here. The first one's always going to be a little bit crustier. The second one's going to be a little bit hotter.
All right. Good deal. with the top one, I'm going to say I'm almost thinking Gardner Minshew. Like that's like my gut reaction.
He's right around there. Yeah.
Is Gardner Minshew like the low sack percentage? Wasn't in a position to make a ton of interceptions. They gave him easy throws in Titans offense. The other guy, who else would I guess there?
I'm going with a rushing QB. I'm going with Hurts.
Oh, interesting. Okay, I'm gonna stay. I'm trying to think.
Hurts really regressed.
I'm gonna say Minshew up top, and then the bottom. I'm gonna say 10%. So 10% sack percentage means he was sacked 10% of the time, right?
No, he was 10th. He was the 10th QB. These are all QB 10 in sack percentage.
Okay, so that means that he was sacked
less.
Less.
Yeah, these are, yeah.
So the guy up top was not sacked hardly at all.
Yep.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Okay. But the interception percentage, wow.
Yep, super bad at 25th quarterback interception percentage.
Okay, that should give it away. Let me try to figure it out.
I'm not gonna lie, dude. I don't remember interception super.
I'm gonna say Josh Allen is the bottom.
Josh Allen was my first thought, but he would have been higher than 11th in total passing yards.
You sure about that?
I mean, no, but that's what I thought.
Yeah, I mean,
so
probably
I,
would. You're
I mean,
right.
That's why I went with Hurts instead of Allen, because I'd feel like Hurts would be closer to 11th in passing yards than Allen.
That's true. That's
just
true.
To play devil's advocate, we did just look at Stephon Diggs over the last 8 games, so it is. Reasonable that Josh Allen could be 11th in pass yards. Again, not saying that's the actual answer, just, you know,
making
us all aware.
I think it's unlikely that that's true. Yeah. Both of these guys played full seasons, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Shoot. You know.
So we got Hurts for the bottom for Nathan, Minshew up top for Avery.
And I've got Allen on the bottom. And I'm going to stick with it.
Okay. Up top for me, I got to go with another crusty guy because Minshew, dang it, dude, he took Minshew from me. Let me go with, I'm trying to think of a guy who is kind of, who started but was not good at all. Oh, Derek Carr. I'm going with Derek Carr.
Oh, dang it. That's a good one.
Yep. The top one is Derek
Frank,
Carr.
Let's go!
We got a tie. Derek Carr, and the bottom was T-Law.
Ah,
had to throw him in there after the contract.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
He did throw a decent amount of picks yesterday.
All right. And this
yesterday.
Dang, I didn't even think about Derek Carr.
Yep. Okay. Last one. This one's going to be a little bit easier. It's in the tight end category. It's first come. You get it first. You win. I have to finish reading them off before you can say them. The top guy, total team target share was 23.6%. 150 total yards after contact, had 74 more total yards than the bottom player, and had 5 broken tackles. The bottom tight end two here had a total target share of 20.9%, 115 yards after contact, 74 less total yards, and 9 broken tackles. Go.
Bottom one's Jake Ferguson.
I'm going to say the bottom one is Evan Ingram.
Hmm.
Top one, I'll go Kelsey.
23%. Oh, my gosh. I mean, what other tight end got even close to 23%?
That's fine.
Kelsey, I think, was 19% target share.
That was
there was
adjusted for the games he didn't play and stuff like that.
Yeah, still, though, I got to pick another guy. Yeah, so I'm going to go with... I'll go with Andrews.
So you got Andrews up top, Ferguson on bottom, and you got Kelsey up top and Ingram on bottom?
Yeah.
Ingram was the top one.
Crap, I should have said that.
Ingram was the top one, and Sam Laporta was the bottom one.
Wow.
So we got a tie here. Oh, man, I did not prepare a tiebreaker question.
Dang it.
It's okay. Just assume that I'm better than him.
How about this? We'll have Ryan get started on his segment, and then we'll come back with a tiebreaker. Make sure to stay around for that.
Okay, cool. Ryan, it's all you, buddy.
All right. Next segment, we've seen a lot of buzz in the past, I'd say the past 2 or 3 weeks, at one position in particular across the NFL for a variety of reasons, that being the wide receiver position. The divas of most teams, and I think... apt place to start this conversation that we did touch on previously with the Brandon Ayuk at the beginning is the contract situation, a state of the union, if you will, across the wide receiver landscape in the NFL. And I'll preface a little bit, kind of give the timeline as to why we're bringing this up. Justin Jefferson, my pride and joy, my baby boy.
Oh gosh.
Reset the wide receiver market. By a long shot, because he is hands down the best wide receiver, age adjusted, in the NFL.
Yes.
Now, that makes us, it brings us to an interesting point here, because we have two very big and very popular fantasy relevant early startup and dynasty around pick wide receivers in CeeDee Lamb and Ja'Marr Chase, who are both due contract extensions. I would say at a lower level than that of Justin Jefferson, but still going to most likely be paid as some of the most, like, the highest paid receivers in football. Lamb, obviously, this offseason, I guess he could hold out, but that's preposterous. And then Ja'Marr Chase next year. So I'd love to get your 2, 3, if John wants to chime in, opinions on what you think we're going to see going forward here, because we're kind of an inflection point.
Yeah. I think you see CeeDee Lamb get a bigger contract than Justin Jefferson.
Agreed.
I think, look, and does it mean that CeeDee Lamb's a better wide receiver? No. I mean, money doesn't always talk. I mean, if we were basing that off of contracts, then Christian Kirk would be a top 5 wide receiver just like 2 years ago.
And
right?
Mahomes would be the 10th best quarterback in the NFL.
Exactly. T-Law would be 2.
Exactly. Like, so I think for sure, like, if you're CeeDee Lamb, and CeeDee Lamb's agent, you say, okay, here's what he just got paid. I just had a better season than he's had.
He gets $35 million. I want 35.1.
Right,
it's the same market value.
It's all just for optics. Show. It's all optics. That's what I'm looking for. But I think you see CeeDee Lamb do that. Now, with Ja'Marr Chase, it's a little bit more interesting, at least for me, because like I personally, I don't know. From an NFL perspective, you do have to take into account how just how much attention he draws from defenses. And that is a huge luxury to have when you're talking about creating space for the other weapons on the field.
If any franchise were ever to find a way to underpay someone, it would be the Cincinnati Bengals.
I mean,
I think Chase gets less than Jefferson and CD.
That's what I think too. Yeah. I think Chase becomes the third highest paid wide receiver.
Yep.
I think you see him get $1 million or $2 million a year under Justin Jefferson. And I honestly think that it will lead to them not being able to pay T. Higgins, and T. Higgins is going to leave Cincinnati. Like,
yes.
I think, and I always mention this when talking about the Cincinnati Bengals, because it's like Joe Burrow was, it was always like coming out that like Joe Burrow was like going to take a team friendly deal, and that he wanted all of his friends to stay together, and that he was going to be super. And then he took the biggest contract he possibly could.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, I was like, yeah, you definitely are not throwing away money just to keep your guys around. You do not care about that. And that's the truth. And I don't expect him to do that. I just think, you know, had Joe Burrow actually taken a team friendly deal, similar to the one that Mahomes has. Mahomes didn't take a team-friendly deal to take a team-friendly deal. He did it because he signed it a couple of years ago, and now per year, you know, he's fallen down to like 9th or 8th. But with that being said, I mean, the Chiefs right now on Mahomes' current deal, based on his annual salary, can afford to pay other weapons in that offense.
Yes.
Whereas with the Bengals,
it does seem very intentional because, I mean, he and Kelce are like attached at the hip, and they both could get paid more than they are, and they both have reworked their deals in a way that Chris Jones can get his big contracts.
Like, I mean, it may or may not be intentional. Like, but I mean, with Mahomes especially, I mean, it would make some sense because it's not like he's not going to make a ton of money every other place he goes. Like,
so
he's the face of the NFL.
Yeah,
I've got a tangent about that. If you don't mind,
yes,
go for it.
We all know that Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in football. It's you can't debate it at this point. And obviously he's not being paid as though he is the highest or the best quarterback in the NFL. And I think there was reason for that, because if you remember back to when Patrick Mahomes signed his contract extension, it was a long contract extension and it was expensive.
10 years.
10 years. Yeah,
exactly. And you never see that at any position in the NFL. That's like that's a baseball contract.
That's an MLB contract.
Yes,
yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
Now, my tangent about this is it's that this was a planned idea. You see it from time to time with quarterbacks. Like, the most publicized is Tom Brady when he was in New England. He took team-friendly deals year after year after year because he knew that he was good enough as a player to bring up the skill level of those around him. And if you look at the trajectory of the NFL and the percentage of cap that Patrick Mahomes is projected to have each year as it goes along, you're getting to a point where as Patrick Mahomes gets less capable physically on the field as he ages out of his prime years, the team is going to be able to pay more and more money to skill position players that he will be able to bring up the level around him. Whereas now he's able to make every throw. He's able to scramble. He's durable. He's got all this stuff. So they can pay him the money now, because he can raise the level of everybody around him. And if you plan out a long contract, barring injury, and have the right quarterback to do it, somebody who understands the economics of it, you can build something like this, where you basically, without actually front-loading it, in terms of the percentage of the cap, when the cap goes up annually, front-load the contract. And you end up being able to pay these guys later on. So, I mean, doing what Mahomes has done now is already massively impressive. But if he decides to just keep doing the team-friendly stuff, imagine the juggernaut that they're going to have when he's getting paid a fraction of the percentage of the cap that he's getting paid now.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how this saga kind of continues, because I bet you're going to see a lot of low-key, like, under-the-radar, just contract reworks in Kansas City over the next few years. But you're right, like, this year 2024, his cap hit is $37 million for Patrick Mahomes. It's been $35 million over the last 2 years. Then in 2025 is that jump, right? You got $66, $68, and $64 million a piece, and then after that it goes back down pretty much to where it was, right? 32, 34, 45, 48. So I am interested to see how that works out for sure.
Yes. Now we'll pivot slightly. We know that, I mean, I disagree about Ja'Marr Chase being the third highest paid. I think it's we saw it with Justin Jefferson and what we assume CeeDee Lamb. They're in a cold war, a nuclear arms race. Every receiver thinks that they're the best receiver. Ja'Marr Chase is no different. He's shown flashes of it. I think he's going to demand the highest paid contract for a wide receiver in history, which is going to beat either that of CeeDee or Justin Jefferson, depending on what happens this offseason, and also into next season.
I'll interrupt here for a sec. I feel like, especially too with the draft pick of Burton, like they have set themselves up to be able to do that and still have a competent receiver room. So they're definitely preparing for, you know, I could definitely see it being the biggest contract. Wide receiver position is just a diva position, and like it's all, you know, measuring stick who gets that 1 cent extra and that person wins. Yes. And so with that, like having Burton, they're going to be set up for a while. And with the Chase re-signing that I'm assuming is going to happen, and I think we all are assuming, that seems likely to me.
Yeah, interesting.
I'd like to use that, you know, talking about the receiver room in Cincinnati as a little bit of a springboard to the next header here on the discussion sheet. T. Higgins. T. Higgins is, just recently, 2 days ago, signed the contract that the Bengals gave him for a 1 year deal. I believe it was a franchise tag contract, which I think is only going to increase the speculation that we're going to hear throughout the course of the next 12 months or so. Because the reason I say that is because now he's a trade target, and there's a lot of teams out there who are wide receiver needy. The Chargers have nobody. The Lions could absolutely become a Super Bowl contender and like true contender if they add an actual second receiver and not rely on Jameson Williams. The Patriots, as we highlighted earlier, nobody. The Commanders, they're hoping for Jahan Dotson to be another receiver, but other than Terry McLaurin, that's it. And the Bills, they're hoping on Keon Coleman, who has been one of the most divisive wide receiver prospects of this offseason. I mean, I think there's a lot of meat on the T. Higgins bone, and I don't know how this is going to play out.
I don't either. I mean, I don't think he ends up in Cincinnati, but I mean, it's just a question, especially when you're looking at it from the lens of like fantasy football. Does T. Higgins go somewhere else, become the wide receiver one, and then become overvalued? I think that's fairly possible as well. I think it's definitely within the rated. Or does T. Higgins go somewhere, become the wide receiver one, and ball out? It's not like he doesn't have the skill set.
Yeah, I mean, the nice thing about that, I mean, Ryan's right with the franchise tag. Since he's signed it, anyone can trade him for, you know, relatively dirt cheap, get him on a decent deal for what he's going to offer you for a team for a year. Then you can reevaluate contract later, let him walk if he doesn't really work out. So this is really the prime time to get him if you are going to. But I think, I mean, if I were to guess where he'd go, I would assume – if they were to trade him, I would assume it's going to be the NFC.
Yeah.
Right. Because they're not going to want to see him go to an AFC team, an AFC contender. Because you're right. Like, if he does get traded to another team, they are looking to contend. Since he isn't going to help anyone on the AFC side with that at all.
No. He's the Devontae Adams replacement once Devontae Adams retires. That's a scenario easily where he goes there, and probably people are going to hate that.
Yeah.
Right. He'll play alongside Brock Bowers, but how much
cap room does Green Bay have?
Oh, don't do this to me.
Sorry, I'm just thinking. I mean, talk about a kind of nice fit. Well, honestly, because he could go in there and really.
The other thing is, Green Bay is super high on those four wide receivers. Like, they may feel like they just don't need them.
Yeah, I mean, super high on Christian Watson.
Gosh.
Green Bay's got $28 million this year, $47 million next year.
Are you kidding me?
So
a fit made in heaven.
That is honestly, a fit made in heaven.
Cap space rankings. Like, let's look who has the most cap at the moment. I don't even know. So especially on the NFC side, like obviously the Patriots,
Colts are still top 10.
The Commanders, like I feel like what are the odds that T. Higgins goes to a spot where with the contract he's demanding? What are the odds he goes to a spot where we look at that from a fantasy perspective? We're like, that's awesome. Probably pretty slim.
Probably, yeah.
I don't know if there's any.
No, I mean the Commanders. Honestly, that's crazy that the Lions are third in cap space this year. That's nuts. The Giants are a good one. He'd be lethal with neighbors. That'd be sick.
I know.
Cardinals, Raiders are up here. Like I mentioned, Packers, Vikings.
Vikings.
Nah, it's not happening. It's not happening.
That'd be such a Raiders move.
It would be. It's literally why I could see it in my head. T. Higgins traded to the Raiders,
three first round picks.
The Raiders giving up like their future for him.
Yeah.
Having no quarterback.
Gosh.
I don't know. I mean, T. Higgins was always a guy that he's kind of a good example of everything wrong with how dynasty players in particular value wide receivers. You saw T. Higgins when he was doing exactly what he was doing in years prior be valued as an early third round pick in dynasty startups and superflex leagues. Oof. This is a guy that, you know, many of the popular YouTube channels, popular podcasts, all advocating for T. Higgins as a late second, early third round pick in dynasty when he was putting up the same numbers he is now. Now
his price is literally cut in half.
Not only that, but in terms of what he's able to do from an efficiency standpoint and production standpoint on a per game basis, there's not that big of a difference.
San Fran could just let Ayuk walk, grab Higgins, and pay him what he's actually worth and get the same amount out of Higgins as they would from Ayuk.
Yeah, that would San Fran. I can't believe this, but they are.
It's because they're not paying Purdy.
They're sixth, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're paying everybody else on
defense.
They're
paying everyone on defense.
And offensive line, even. Yeah.
They got to get a Super Bowl out of it, man. They got to get a Super Bowl out of it.
They also have negative $37 million in cap space next year.
Okay.
That's true.
They've been kicking the can down the road a bit.
That's the New Orleans Saints move. The Saints are $88 million in the hole.
It's
ridiculous.
Do they have any cut candidates? San Fran going into 2025, because Debo will be out after this year, I'd assume.
Yeah, they're gonna probably cut. I don't know. I was trying to think of something funny.
Nice.
Another Charvarius Ward, $12 million in savings.
Okay.
Another team I'd like to point out, and then we'll move on from this to something else I'd like to chit chat about before we're done here. There are two teams that I find absurdly interesting in this T. Higgins sweepstakes in 2025 cap space. The Dallas Cowboys have the fifth most, and the New York Jets have the seventh most. Those teams both are in need of a T. Higgins skill set wide receiver, because T. Higgins complements both CeeDee Lamb and Garrett Wilson very, very well.
Yeah. I think
I could get beyond Dallas.
I think Dallas is obviously one people would get excited
about.
That's
also a Jerry Jones thing to do.
And it would be a Jerry Jones thing to do. But the other team that I look at, I'm like, okay, that's where T. Higgins is going to end up, is the freaking Jets. Yeah. If he were to go in the AFC, why wouldn't the Bengals just be like, yeah, it's the Jets, who cares? Honestly.
Valid.
And if Aaron Rodgers isn't playing there, the Jets are it's such a murky situation. I agree with that, Ryan. I think the Cowboys
value wouldn't go up either, which would suck.
How are the Cowboys how do they have that much cap space? Because they haven't paid CD.
They haven't paid CD or Parsons.
That's true.
I didn't
think about that.
Or technically they haven't paid Dak again.
All right, I'm taking them out of the running. That was oversight on my end.
Yeah, because I was just saying, because they've got so many people to pay. So but the Jets are good.
I mean, if you're thinking 1 year rental. Because, right, you would assume...
I don't think T's taken that. Unless they trade him against his will.
T doesn't have a choice.
Well, unless they trade him against his will.
What type of tag is it? He doesn't have a say in where he is traded, correct?
I don't know, but usually NFL teams work with, because
there's exclusive tags and then non-exclusive tags.
I don't know.
And those are kind of...
I don't know what it is, but I do know that the Bengals are likely to work with T. Higgins at least a little bit. Probably wouldn't just throw him out to dry. I do think that the Jets are a very realistic possibility. I for sure think that that's something that we would look at and crap, T. Higgins is on the Jets.
Make
now.
Me turn green.
Honestly, from an NFL standpoint, him and Garrett Wilson would be great. It would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not too dissimilar than Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. So I think it works, but
I do too.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see.
All right. I think that's a pretty good synopsis of the contract situation that we've got going with a couple of these young, promising wide receivers who haven't, you know, besides Justin Jefferson, haven't gotten their big paydays that are in line for all of them. Yeah. I think that's a pretty good understanding of what we've got to look forward to for at least until CD does his contract. And once that happens, we'll go on from there. John, you got anything to add?
Yeah, well, I'll close us out with the final trivia question.
All right, here we go.
Is this on the paper?
This is not.
Okay.
Frank Gore, career rushing yards.
Oh.
What?
Does Nathan have this?
You said it like you knew it. He was like, "Oh yeah." 23,000.
23,000. Nathan's if you could see Nathan's face, he is
holy.
In awe.
I know it's close to that. I know a ballpark. Or I think it's. I'm close.
I'm going. I'm gonna go.
I think that's too much, Avery.
Yeah, I think it's much too much. I think 15 is too. I'm gonna go with 15,000.
15. It was 16,000. Yeah, Nathan is our winner. Yeah. So that's
I'm the best. I just knew it was going to happen because
that's just week one.
I'm just better than you. So,
we'll have to see in future episodes. Avery, I'll let you kind of close us out.
Yeah. So we appreciate you guys listening and make sure you drop a rating on the podcast. If you've listened, if you've enjoyed the show, shout out to John and Ryan for prepping this. We're going to be back in it now. We're going to try to do this every single week. We're going to make time so that, the Domain Fantasy Football Network does have some kind of, content for podcast listeners. So again, the best thing you can do, leave a rating, tune in every week, submit your suggestions on our Discord,
and tell your friends.
Send it to people. That's really good. Share.
Yeah.
You can find us obviously at flockfantasy.com/domain. We host over there with a number of channel. When you sign up, use code domain, it gets you a discount. It gets you a team review for if you play redraft, if you play dynasty. It gets you our rankings and our trade calculator. It gets you all the tools you need to win your fantasy or dynasty leagues. And then you also get in our Discord where if you listen to the podcast, you can submit suggestions. I mean, John and Ryan are more than happy to take ideas from the audience in terms of what do you want to hear discussed on this podcast. This is a show for the people. This is a show about fantasy football. We thank you guys for joining us. We will see you next week.
It's a show about fantasy football.